Actually, the United States came to this pretty late. Canada, Australia, much of mainland Europe has been doing media literacy as part of sort of the language arts curriculum for a long time. And in the US, it started in the 90s with a focus on parents and protecting kids from harmful media messages, especially television. So that's how media literacy started here. It didn't really become a big thing in terms of the general public until 2016 during our presidential election. Then concerns about misinformation, disinformation, I think really pushed it forward.
Okay, so it was more in terms of the content that was coming through your TV to protect your kids from harmful content, or kids that wasn't age appropriate for them, as opposed to
Exactly.
now it's all what are you getting the news and can you trust what you're hearing or seeing or reading?
I think it's moved to that. For us, Project Look Sharp, we always started with a focus on K-12 education and to see media literacy as literacy. And if you're going to teach kids to read and write, you can't just do that with print-based text anymore. You've got to teach them to make judgments about what they're seeing and reading and hearing in all different kinds of media. And to start in pre-K, start at age 4 or 5, that and every year, all the way up.
Okay. And Ricardo, if I could talk to you a bit about how have things developed from your perspective in the future media situation in DCU from the la over the last couple of years with the, I don't know, was it political push to try and develop more in this area, to learn more and to prevent the misinformation that we're seeing being pushed out there?
Yeah, well, I think the one of the major events was the launch of the media literacy policy, Jerry, in 2016. So this was a big thing in Ireland.
Yeah.
And right afterwards, we had the establishment of Media Literacy Ireland, which is a network of people and organizations. So this was a big thing that happened in Ireland. And then, as Cindy said, I think 2016 was a big year because of disinformation. So media literacy before that, everyone heard about media literacy, but nobody actually knew what media literacy actually was. Actually, this is still true today, but because of the problem with disinformation, everyone became concerned about, how people were actually consuming information, especially children. So this was a big push. And then we had, especially in Europe, we had a, nowadays we have a lot of initiatives like the Edmo, for example. In Ireland, we have the Edmo Hub. I was the coordinator of the media literacy in Ireland. So there's a lot of things that has been involved, but we still have a problem in terms of education. Because, for example, in Ireland, not only in Ireland, in Europe in general, but in Ireland, we don't have media literacy as a separate subject in the curriculum. We have some elements of media literacy spread across the curriculum. So, for example, we have in the primary curriculum, we have within the SPHD strand, we have an element called media education. Which, if you read, I mean, it looks very nice, but we still don't know exactly how teachers are teaching this subject to children. We have the digital media literacy short course for junior cycle students, which for me is one of the major achievements in education that we have. And we have some elements in English, we have some elements in visual arts. And also in senior cycle, I know that some teachers in politics and society, they are talking about media literacy, but we still don't have something really, united around media literacy in the curriculum.
Do you think, Ricardo, then, like looking what Cindy's been doing and what Look Sharp Project in America have been doing, do we need to be active and have it as either part of the curriculum or a subject itself in primary school? Is that a, do we need to start that early to try and educate children, like alongside reading and writing and arithmetic and
Yeah.
learning, that they learn you're going up, you're going to have access to information technology, so do we need to start there?
Exactly. Just as Cindy mentioned, I think she put precisely like media literacy is literacy.
You bet.
So we can't think about reading and writing the same way we did before. So the way we communicate has changed. And the way children are coming to school nowadays has changed. So they are coming to schools and they are used to communicating through text and image and videos and emojis and everything. So this is a different kind of literacy. So we need to embrace this from, you know, early stages. But it's not only that, of course, as you mentioned, as they grow older, they need to develop critical thinking skills to deal with information. They need to talk about citizenship, for example, in relation to media. They need to discuss cultural references in relation to media as well. So media literacy has become a huge field of studies, Jerry, nowadays.
Yeah.
And now with AI as well, you know, so now we, I mean, 2 years ago, we wouldn't talk about AI within the media literacy field, but now everyone talks about artificial intelligence. So media literacy is something that every year you have something new because you have new technology, you have new software, and with this you have new challenges and you have new opportunities. So it's not something that you learn in a workshop or you learn in you know, in 1 year. This is a lifelong learning process. So we need to start very early and you need to go beyond the schools, actually, for adults as well.
Cindy, would you agree with that?
I was going to say, I just want to second exactly what Ricardo said, that we don't teach, you know, for me, teaching media literacy as a one-off, a 1 week or even 1 year would be like saying, you know, in seventh grade, we're going to teach reading. And then in eighth grade, you get to learn writing. You know, it's just not like that. It's something that should be taught in, we think, in every subject area, in social studies, in science, and math, that anywhere that you read and write and see images and interpret information, then you need to have media literacy skills. And for us, we start often in early elementary grades looking at misinformation and disinformation in food packaging. So in the US, we have a lot of beverages that pretend to have fruit in them and that do not. But they have pictures of fruit, they're called fruit, or cereal boxes or whatever. Those are aimed at kids. And if you can teach kids that just because it's called Fruit Loops or Fruity Pebbles or Cherry 7-Up or something like that doesn't mean that it has fruit in it, but you can figure that out by asking somebody to read the ingredients to you and listen. So empowering kids by helping them understand that not everything you see is necessarily true, but you can be a detective and look for clues and figure that out. You can do that with 3 and 4 year olds, and weave it into the curriculum wherever it occurs.
And if you do that, Cindy, would you then be training them for the area of critical thinking when it comes to the news, when they get older, when they're voters, that they have this inbuilt pathway in their brain to look at everything that way?
Yeah, you bet. I have grandchildren who are 4 and 6 years old. And our conversation last night was about the presidential debates, which are tonight between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and why that matters and why voters need to listen and make up their mind and have some knowledge. So, and they're 4 and 6 years old. So, so for them, starting really early, I mean, my grandson came in the other day with a magazine he had just gotten and said, you know what this would be good for? Media literacy. And so starting kids early to know that phrase, to understand it's all about asking questions. And then for us in the US, teachers think this sounds great, but I don't have time to figure out how to put this into the curriculum. So the United States is not much farther ahead than Ireland, I think, in part because in the US, each school district, each state makes up their own curriculum. There's very little that is done at the national level. So we are working with librarians and teachers across the U.S. To figure out how to weave this into what you do. And at LookSharp, we get grant funding to create free lesson plans and materials that are on our website. We have more than 900 free lessons available for anybody around the world that are free for educators and that they can download and that include goals and objectives, as well as questions to ask about media messages.
Yeah. Ricardo, if I can ask you just on, and Cindy mentioned 2016, when things became very, you know, concentrated on voters and, you know, misinformation during elections, swinging results in a certain way. You look at Brexit, you look at the documented cases of misinformation attacking particular candidates or standpoints, and the situation of countries now using misinformation as a form of disruption and almost, you know, warfare in terms of trying to influence what happens in another country. Is that the way, I suppose, we need to look at it from this point of view, that we need an educated voter base in order to try and disseminate that? Otherwise, you know, there's going to be very serious implications for our democracy.
Well, definitely. That's why I like the concept of citizenship, Jerry. You know, it's all about that. I mean, nowadays we use a lot this concept of citizenship in media literacy, which means that you have to understand your role in the society and you have to understand how harmful this information is. Because a lot of people say, well, but I don't think this is so harmful. You know, I think I know how to distinguish between false and real information. Mm-hmm. I don't see any people actually having too many troubles with this, but actually it is a big problem. So I think the first thing is that we have to make people understand how harmful it is. For example, as you mentioned, in elections, you know, and then once they understand this, they have to understand their roles in their society and their responsibilities as well. Because some people just say, well, you know, I sometimes share information without checking, but if it's not true, it's not my fault because I didn't create this.
Yeah.
Well, it is actually your fault because you should have checked the information before, even though you didn't create that, but you helped the mechanism, you know, to spread this information. So the responsibility is a key part of teaching children as well.
And is that civic duty almost you're talking about there, that we need to educate our children and say, look, sure, you can watch Love Island or the Kardashians, but you also have to spend some time figuring out what's going on and listening to the boring stuff, because that's the stuff that will change your life. Not to put it too clear, nothing against Love Island or the Kardashians, by the way, but you know the point I'm making, Ricardo.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to add something I think is important, Jerry, that media literacy is not only about critical thinking and protecting children from harmful effects of media and disinformation. There's a whole other part of media literacy which is very important that involves creativity, for example, self-expression, and working with cultural elements. But because of the disinformation problem, we have focused a lot on the problems of the media. But we also have to look at the other side. I'm sure Cindy agrees with me with that, you know, that there's a whole bunch of opportunities for us to develop creativity, to develop learning opportunities with media, to develop cultural awareness about media. So it's important also that we look at that. You know, the people actually, the way the children use cultural references to express themselves and to create digital media. Because nowadays, everyone with internet connection and, you know, a mobile phone can actually be a media creator.
A content creator.
To explore that.
Yeah. Cindy, is that a fair point?
Absolutely terrific point, that literacy is both reading and writing. And so you want to have kids learn how to create their own media messages collectively in class or individually. And then for us, reflecting on your own choices as a media maker and your own choices in terms of sharing. Why did I share that? And also the reflection piece, whether you're talking about analyzing media or creating media, also has to do with what are my own biases that I am bringing to this situation? Why would I choose to believe this and not that? So it's not just analyzing the media message itself, but also reflecting on your own perspective and point of view, and the knowledge you have and the biases that we all have when we interpret media messages.
Can I ask you both the same question finally on it? Like, there's a lot of talk and a lot of discussion about what the social media companies need to do or how they need to be regulated, how much money they spend to prevent or stop harmful content. Call me cynical, but I think it's going to be a long time before that happens. So in the meantime, is the way to prevent the worst of the damage, whatever it is, whether it's misinformation, whether it's online bullying, or whether it's just harmful content, that we are educated as citizens to try and disseminate that while waiting for our regulators to catch up with the billion-dollar companies that are, you know, running the world. Cindy.
Yeah, I think you're right about the fact that if they're making lots of money, they don't have a lot of incentive to make those changes. But, you know, our Surgeon General just came out this week, calling for warning labels on social media. And for me, this is not going to be an easy solve in terms of the harmful effects, especially harmful effects of social media on teenage girls and body image and suicide rates and so forth. So we can't just solve it with one thing. We have to solve it with lots of different attempts. And so I'm all in favor of attempting for regulations, but I think you're right. I think in the meantime, we need to all of us teach our kids, teach ourselves to think critically so we can protect ourselves.
Yeah, Ricardo, same question to you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, you know, Jerry, education takes time. So media literacy is important, but it's not enough. We need more than that. Especially because we cannot put the burden on the people, you know, and say you have to be critically skilled and so on. No, we also need the media companies, the tech companies to do their job. And I think one of the most important things they need to do now is to provide information about what they are doing to researchers so that we can actually understand what they are doing. Because even we don't know exactly what they're doing. When you talk about algorithms, for example, we know at a very surface level, we know a little bit about it, but we don't know everything. So the first thing is they need to open the box and show us, okay, that's how we are doing, and that's the way things work, so that we can actually understand better how they work so that we can teach people about them.
Yeah, so we just need to get Elon and Mark Zuckerberg and co into a room, sit them down and tell them, get them to open their companies. Easy, right?
Good luck with that. So watch the
I did see, Cindy, a couple of years ago, it was a brilliant question. And for me, it cut through so much of the mystery around it. Mark Zuckerberg was being questioned by a senator in America. And he said, listen, where did you stay last night? What hotel are you staying in here? How did you get here? Would you be willing to share the information? He said, no. And he said, well, that's what we're talking about here. You expect everyone to tell you, and you get that information, your privacy, but you're not willing yourself to volunteer it. So therein lies the hypocrisy, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I think, you know, Ricardo's exactly right that we can't just lay the burden on people to protect themselves. We've got to try across the world to get governments and organizations and businesses to be involved. And so it's going to take all of us. I mean, I think a parallel has been around tobacco education that, you know, 50, 60 years ago in the US anyway, 42% of adults smoked and now it's 11% in the US. And it's because we addressed it in lots of different ways and eventually got companies to share the information that they had. But they didn't do that willingly.
No.
And there
was a fight.
Yeah. So for me, knowledge is power, and I think education is a place that we can go, in part because it's the place where we already teach kids to learn and write, learn to read and write and to think critically. So we just need to include all kinds of media as part of that.
Okay. Well, listen, Cindy and Ricardo, thanks so much for giving your time and explaining the work that you do and how important it is. And thanks for talking to us in the program.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Ricardo, you and I should collaborate. That would be great.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Okay.